the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had a conversion experience? That was such an important question growing up in my family's evangelical faith tradition. I always felt like people were looking for everyone to have a story like the Apostle Paul's. Something like, I was a terrible sinner, hated the church, rebelled against God. But then one day I saw the light, heard the voice of God telling me I had been forgiven, and turned to the Lord. Then they would baptize you, and you were set for your new life in Christ. And it all hung on that one big story. It was seen as a bit of a problem if you didn't have such a story. I remember being at this Christian camp and then wanting to hear people's faith story, as they called it. And this one girl I knew, Lisa was her name, said, I was just raised in the church by a family that made faith a part of our lives at home, and I've always been a Christian. And they pressed her a bit. But what was the moment where you really knew and changed from your old life to your new life in relationship with God? And she just said, I've just always known and always had a relationship with God. That is my story. And then there was an awkward silence because that somehow didn't fit the mold, even though it's a beautiful story. The thing is, Lisa had many stories of how she came to serve God in new contexts, maybe saw the face of God in an unexpected person, realized how God had gifted her through her own past experiences to meet the challenges of the faith in the current moment. It just wasn't quite what was looked for. I think Paul's conversion story isn't meant to be normative. It's clearly extraordinary. But I also think it's a bit misunderstood. It's really not that Paul changed all that drastically. He was always trying to follow God, always devoted his whole life to religious service, and always was a bit of a fanatic and zealot about it. None of that changes after his conversion. He also always seemed a bit uncomfortable with the path he had been on before that road to Damascus. There's an interesting story in Acts where it's mentioned that Paul holds people's cloaks while they stone a follower of Christ, rather than actually participating himself, as though he wasn't quite all in with the persecution he was leading. What changed for Paul was his perspective, his recognition of the way the world had changed. The Lord told him that God had entered into that world as Jesus, that he was the one Paul had always sought, and now he was free to follow. Paul's conversion was God freeing him of his misconceptions and blind spots so that he could live fully into who he essentially always was. I think conversion often looks like that, a recognition of the present reality and the freedom to then be who you were made to be, just in a new context, with new eyes. I converted to being an Episcopalian sometime after college, but I wouldn't say it was about a big change in me, so much as finding the place that was home that I had never known existed before. I don't prefer to tell my story as I was raised wrong and now I've seen the light. The truth is something more like I was finally free to experience God's presence in ways that made sense to me through sacraments and liturgy, and to believe the way I was created to, a way that involves way more questions than answers, and the searching and mystery are the whole point of the journey. In this sense, I am converted all the time. Sometimes it involves changing the way I see something in a new context, And sometimes it involves sloughing off something that was dead weight so that I can be more clearly who God is calling me to be. The Christian life is one of conversion, but it takes some parsing to understand what that means in each case. Certainly there exist authentic stories of dramatic life changes, but they are no less important than the stories of how people came to the experience of encountering God through a new way of prayer they were introduced to, or to have a religious experience through finally finding the way of serving that connected their deep passions with the work of making God's kingdom present among us, or the freedom to know the grace that their love could be blessed, their identity could be recognized, or their way of seeing the world could be valued by a faith community that had become their family. These are all types of conversion. And this is the work the church needs to be about: helping people to see God by introducing them to new ways of worshiping, assisting them in becoming more fully who they were created to be, by encouraging them to be God's hands and feet to meet the need presented by the current realities of the world they live in, or showing them the grace so they can finally feel the love of God and community just as they are. That's conversion, and it's what churches are doing. Some things remain immutable. The sacraments are reliable ways of encountering God, and liturgy is a time-tested tool for training us all to embody the religious life. But other things change to meet the realities of the day. Ministries adapt to be relevant to the current need, to account for the skills and passions of those involved, and respond to the situation that arises. We've begun some of this work here. The team structure at its heart is about empowering a lot more people to do ministry here, to use their gifts and vision to mold ministries and stake a path forward that helps people to encounter God. And through small groups and retreats, we have stepped more deeply into one of the things this church does best: truly welcoming people in and reflecting the way God values each person. These are new ways of telling the next chapter in our story, individually and as a community. I believe the faith journey is about stories, and conversion is about dreaming of the next chapter filled with hope and expectation. The past is prologue, but it's not destiny. It's important to the story, but not determinative. The only thing that is constant is that this story is always about searching for the face of God and striving to become more fully who that God made you to be. The conversion of St. Paul is celebrated in Epiphany for a reason. It is an epiphany. The gift to see and experience God, and the realization that you are free to serve God actively as you are. This is a season of life that we cycle back to again and again to remind us how to seek the face of God in our world, and to promise us that if we are faithful, we might just catch a glimpse of it in the here and now. We need to be open to seeing the changing reality of church life, of our own city, of the world around us, and asking God how we can serve in new circumstances, how we can convert our lives to meet the present reality of our world and experience the divine there once again. No one gets a pass on conversion. It's fundamental to Christianity. The question is what it looks like for each of us. How are we continually refined or refocused to be more and more who we were created to be, so that we can meet our Creator in the world He made and help in the redeeming work to be done? Like our patron saint, we are being converted and we are changing our environment to help us become who we are called to be. Let's follow Paul's example and help others to see Christ as well. Amen.